You get your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Galatians, to the second chapter and the 20th verse this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's give our careful attention again this morning to the Word of God. One verse for our text this morning, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Please bow with me very briefly in prayer. Father, I pray that you will use your word in the lives of your people this morning, that you might bring us to a more consistent walk before you as your people, that as we abide in Christ, we might bear much fruit for your glory. And so sanctify us, O God, by your word, because your word is truth. We plead with you for your Spirit now to work in us and by and with your word. Lord, please teach us from your word this morning. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to the Christian faith, most of you know what to believe. But when it comes to the Christian life, most of you do not know how to live. You have put your trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, for justification before God, for eternal life, but you have no idea what it means to actually live the Christian life. And so you look around you and you see Christian people going to church a lot. And so you do that. You hear that Christians should read their Bible every day and pray, and so you try to do that. You seek out Christian friends and relationships. You start listening to Christian music. You go to church camps. You participate in church talent shows. You read Christian books, and you try your hardest to turn from sin and to walk in obedience to God. You purpose to flee temptation and to make progress in your Christian life, desiring to mature in your faith and your love for God. But the troubling thing is that after all of this, you still find yourself struggling with the same sins that unbelievers struggle with. You still fall to temptations that beset you years ago. You still feel as though you lack a fervent love for God, that abundant life in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But we don't talk about those things in our circles. We don't admit these kinds of deficiencies among ourselves because we think that we are And we have to be the only one who's struggling with this. We think that everyone else is soaring and abounding in the faith, and we begin to secretly, but very sincerely, doubt our own salvation. We wonder if the gospel is actually even true. Because we don't see much change in ourselves, and yet the gospel seems to promise real change in the here and now. But why not in my life? Brother or sister in Christ, I want to assure you today that the problem is not in Christ and His gospel, but it is in you and your deficient knowledge of how good your salvation actually is. You simply don't know what is actually true about you now in Christ. And because you don't know what is true about you, you're not living in light of that truth. In other words, you're not living by faith, but rather you are walking by sight. And until that changes, and indeed at any time that any of us are not living and walking by faith, we will continue to struggle in the Christian life, sputtering along and teetering dangerously close to throwing in the towel and walking away from the faith. If this describes you this morning, then I pray that you'll listen, because I believe God desires to restore your hope today. This morning we're going to consider the doctrine, or in other words, the teaching, the biblical teaching of the Christian life as it is given to us in the Scriptures. And as with all the other sermons that we've looked at in this series on the Christian faith, we're going to have to leave a lot unsaid, but what we cover this morning is actually the core matter of the Christian faith. It's the core matter of the Christian life. And although there are many other important matters that do concern you and that do concern your growth in grace, none are as important as what we will be considering this morning. And the first thing that we need to consider this morning, and the first thing that you need to know, is what is true about you. What is true about you? The simple principle for living the Christian life is believing what God has said is true about you. The simple principle for living the Christian life is believing what God has said is true about you. This is what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. And here I want you to notice two very important things from our passage this morning. The first is, this is precisely the way that Paul says he lives. He lives by faith. And secondly, I want you to notice that Paul believes very precise things about himself. Notice, first of all, the second sentence in the verse wherein Paul says, "And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This is a clear declaration that the Christian life is a life of faith. Paul has noted that certain things have happened to him in the past, and we're going to consider these things in a moment, but the way that he lives right now, in other words, his daily life, his living of the Christian life, his walking in this world, is by faith. The life he now lives in the flesh, he lives by faith. And to understand this, we need to remember what faith actually is. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the eye, if you will, that looks to and comprehends unseen reality. It is an assurance and a conviction of truths that are only known by revelation, only known by learning them in the Scriptures. For instance, when you first became a Christian, it was by faith in the promise of the gospel, that if you will trust in Christ, your sins will be forgiven and you will be granted a new life in Him. You came to conviction of your sin because the Bible told you that you were a sinner and you believed this. You came to a conviction that you needed a Savior because God tells you in the Bible that you need one. And you believed that. And you put your trust in Christ and you have rested assured in Him and His work because you have come to believe what God has said about Him in the Bible. Note that your mind is fully engaged, even though when it comes to belief in the gospel, your senses are not. Your mind is fully engaged, but your senses are not. There is action, there is engagement in your thinking and with your will, but you haven't seen, you haven't tasted, you haven't touched, you haven't smelled or heard anything that you actually believe. And that is what living by faith involves as well. Living by faith involves action and engagement of your mind and of your will, even though you can't see the things that you are acting upon. Rather, it is a belief, or it is a conviction, or it is an assurance in or of certain truths that drive your life now. And that is what Paul is saying here about his life. I live and walk by faith. I don't function in this world according to only what I can see, but I function and I live in this world according to things I am convinced are true about me. Though I cannot show them to you. Imagine trying to survive in the wilderness and going about each moment of your time out there based only upon what you can immediately sense. While the weather is nice, you seem to have no worries and you don't think about finding shelter or the need to protect yourself from storms. But then imagine someone with a weather forecasting device tells you that a storm is coming. You can't feel it coming. You can't see it coming. You can't hear it coming. But it is true that it is coming nonetheless. And if you don't operate in light of that knowledge, you're going to get caught out in the storm and you can die of exposure. The weather forecasting device reveals to you true things that are beyond your five senses. They are true and you neglect them at your peril. In the same way, faith acts on things that are revealed to be true in the Bible, even though those things might not be evident to our senses. That is the way that Paul lived. And that is the way that you must live if you are going to survive and walk the Christian life. With that in mind, let's go back to the first words of the verse where Paul writes, secondly here as a subpoint B, I have been crucified with Christ. Notice that Paul mentions himself and things that are true about him profusely here. In other words, there are at least seven references to himself and what is true about him here in this one short verse. And I've listed those for you in your bulletin this morning. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. I now live a life in the flesh. I live by faith, the Son of God loved me, and He gave Himself for me. These are the things that Paul lives by. These are the truths that he believes about himself and those which he walks in light of. Notice that they are all rooted and grounded in Christ, and He has appropriated them very personally to Himself. And you must also, if you're going to live the Christian life, you notice that Paul is not here just lining out doctrinal truths about Jesus. Paul doesn't say here, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for sinners, who loves the world. Paul writes, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Indeed, we might boil all of this down into two main matters concerning our relationship to Christ that need to guide our lives. And those are, first of all, we are united to Christ. We are united to Christ. And second of all, we are loved by Him. We are loved by Him. Let's look at those briefly by themselves. United to Christ. Paul says that he has been crucified with Christ. And therefore, he himself then no longer lives, but rather it is Christ that lives in him. Indeed, this is true of every one of you who believe upon Jesus Christ for salvation. And yet, we tend to live contrary to that fact. We live contrary to that fact. We think that our future is secured because of Jesus' death, that He paid the penalty for our sin, but that now it is our task to try and live a good life that shows that we are thankful for His death for us. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Shouldn't we live a life of thankfulness to Christ? That's my part now, right? What's missing there is we are not thinking in terms of something radically having happened to us. We don't think in terms of the fact that when Christ died, we died with Him. That the former life of sin, that what is called in the Bible the old man, that the former life of sin was past tense, was crucified. And the new life we have in Christ is actually His life, animating us and in us. And thus we try to live and function by our own strength and will rather than living by Christ's strength and His will. We think, and it goes like this in our minds usually, well, He's done His job. Now I need to do mine. He died for me. Now I must live for Him. But we died with Him. His death was not some abstraction. We died with Him. And this is one of the most crucial truths about Christ that can be known. This is what it means to be united to Christ. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. His life becomes your life. To become a Christian, you must give up your life. That's why Jesus calls you to die to yourself. To be crucified to the world and consider yourself to be dead unto sin. Take on His life, live by His Spirit within you. Paul further cements this relational aspect of our union with Christ by speaking about Christ's love for Him. That is to say, Paul cites it here because Paul knows it to be the case, and it is true. Love is the strongest of all bonds. And when Paul speaks of the Son of God loving Him and giving Himself for Him, he is stating his understanding that Jesus Christ loves him. He loves Paul. And if Jesus Christ loves him, then love becomes the dominant motivator of the Christian life. And we should not underestimate the power of love to drive our lives and the power of love to strengthen our faith in what is true about us. There are many stories that could be cited about superhuman lengths that people have gone to save and help their loved ones. I heard one time of a mother in Italy whose child had been abducted on the street, and the kidnappers threw the child in the car, and as the car drove away, the desperate mother dove, and all she was able to grab was the hot tailpipe of the car. And she held on to the tailpipe as they drug her through the street. And soon enough, the other townspeople saw it and they stopped the car and her child was saved. It was not her physical strength that enabled her to hold on to that hot tailpipe. It was her love for her child. And knowing the depths of Christ's love for us should have an effect of welling up love within us for Him, giving us assurance that He will never leave us or forsake us, drawing us to greater faithfulness in our Christian lives. And that's why Paul prays, when he prays for the church, he prays that our understanding and basically the capacity of our hearts and lives would be able to be expanded so that we might know in a greater degree the depth, the breadth, the length of the love of Christ. That's what Paul prays for us. I'm praying that your heart will just get broken wide open. It'll be stretched and expanded so you can know the love of Christ more than you do right now. Paul does not speak in terms of the truths of the gospel as abstract actions of Christ for sinners generally, but of the things that Jesus Christ did for him specifically and about Christ's love for him particularly. Love is even stronger than death. We love him so little because we don't think in terms of the greatness of his love for us. But that is how Paul lives, and that is how we are to live. The doctrine of the gospel has to be personalized. The doctrine of the gospel has to be personalized, and it has to be known here in a very particular way. Believing the truths, loving the Savior, and then we will know the power of it in our lives and we will be able to live and enjoy the Christian life that we are called to. Indeed, love always leads to further trust. When you know someone loves you, you will trust them. Even though you might be a little bit freaked out about what they're asking you to do. It's that bond of love that enables you to trust them in the hardest circumstances. We love him, and therefore we believe him and trust him with our whole lives. A second matter, more briefly, that we want to consider as we close this morning is how then to live in light of those truths about us. What does it look like in the day in and the day out? When I leave here today, how do I live this way this afternoon? How do I live this way tomorrow? How do I live this way this coming week? Again, the key is to live by faith, as Paul says he does in this verse. That is to say that you too must believe not what you feel is true about yourself, but you must believe what is true about yourself. If you have been crucified with Christ, then it is the case that you do not have to fall to that temptation. You do not have to live in paralyzing fear or despondency, nor do you have to feed your own selfishness and deny service to other people. You don't have to contend for your own personal rights or protect your own private empire. You are dead to all of that. And as Paul says in Romans 6, verse 11, so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, I could ask you about this in other areas of your life. I could ask you things like, well, what's your status in life? Are you married? Are you employed at this certain place? Do you have this certain family? Is this your family? If I lined you up against a wall with some other people, it would not be, in most circumstances, it would not be self-evident by looking at you that you have any of these situations in your life. But those things are true about you. If you're wed, you are a wed person, but I'm not sure I would know that just by looking at you. It's true that you do work at this business, but how would I know that just looking at you? These are your siblings. This is your family. But you, knowing and believing those things to be true about you, you live like they are true. Or at least you should. Because you know and believe they are true about you, you live that way. Your identity now is, I'm from this family. I work at this company. I'm married to this person. And so there are two things essential to living the Christian life. In the day in and the day out, the very practical way that we do this. And the first is you have to know what is true about you. You have to know what is true about you. So knowing what is true about you is essential. And then secondly, walking by or living by faith in those truths. If you died with Christ and thus the power of sin has been broken in your life, then you no longer have to obey sin's lusts and desires. Let me put feet to that. You need to think about this every day of your life. You need to be reminded about this truth about you constantly, because the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to convince you that this is not true about you. You haven't died. Why would you still feel this way if you did? I do not have to. Indeed, I cannot engage in this sin because I died with Christ and the power of sin has been broken in my life. No matter how much your flesh screams out that it has to be satisfied, no matter how much you start doubting and think, well, I'm no different than I was before. And that if I'm really dead, then I wouldn't feel the tug and the temptation right now. That is the world, that is the flesh, that is the devil. But you must believe the word of God. Let God be true, though all men are liars. You take your stand, as Jesus did, on the word of God. And you resist the devil steadfastly by faith. And he will flee from you. That is the promise of Scripture. When you feel afraid, or when you feel like you must protect your own personal rights and kingdom, or when you are just being lazy and selfish, you must remember that by His Spirit, also Christ lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you by His Spirit. You died with Him, but you were also raised to new life in Him. Indeed, it is Christ who lives in you to will and to do His good pleasure. And so when you are tempted to say, I can't, you have to remember that it is ultimately not about you and your strength. And therefore, that is not really an excuse. You are right. You can't. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It is as if you could tap into someone else's strength and vigor. It's like as if you could get their mind and their drive and their will and all the limitations of your own weaknesses are a thing of the past. That is your new life in Christ, and you must believe that His strength will be there as you step out in faith to render obedience to His commands, which you know in yourself you have no power to perform. He will accomplish them through you. Like the man with the withered hand, He will enable you to open your hand, which is impossible for you to do apart from Him. Jesus is not just a Savior for tomorrow. He is that. But He is also your life today. He is not only your justification, He is also your sanctification. You sit under the preaching of the Word so that you might learn what is true from God's perspective, what is true about you, and then act. And then faith acts differently upon each thing that is revealed there to be true about you. The Christian life is about learning what is true concerning you right now and then walking by faith in those truths. You died with Christ and He lives in you. You are dead to sin but alive to God in Jesus Christ. The power of sin and the threat of the law has been done away with, and now His Spirit indwells you, enabling you to do what you cannot do in yourself. You have to preach these things to yourself in the midst of temptation. You have to know them. This is why you read your Bible. This is why you want to know the Scriptures, because you have to know what is true about you or you are dead. You preach these things to yourself in the midst of temptation. You believe these things, and you will be living the abundant Christian life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we believe, but we pray, help our unbelief. We have such little faith. Your Son spoke much of this deficiency among us when He was here in His earthly ministry. He said, "We have not because we ask not." That even if we had faith, very small, but it was true faith, that even mountains could be moved. Father, we have gauged the power of Your salvation by the performances of our own lives. And we pray that You'll forgive us for that, and You will get us back onto what You have said in Your Word is true about us and what You are doing in us. Lord, we pray that You might light fire within Your people again, that Your Word would be clear in our hearts and minds, that we would know that You have loved us with a love that held back nothing, that Your Son loved us and gave Himself for us. And therefore, if You would do this for us, we can trust You when You tell us about ourselves and tell us what is true, what happened to us with Christ. Father, enable us to walk by faith in those truths. Enable us to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto You in Christ Jesus. Father, may it be that we walk different from this moment on. May we recognize that our life is truly hidden in Christ. May we come to know what it means and to manifest it for Your glory, that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Strengthen our faith, O God, in Your promises. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.